Now, turning to matters closer to home, Bord Gáis, but not unconnected, Bord Gáis Energy has confirmed that it's increasing the average electricity bill by 27% and the average gas bill by 39%. The company said that it's ending its winter price pledge, which protected customers over the winter period due to the current volatility on wholesale energy markets. The changes will take effect from the 15th of April. Also, new figures from the Central Statistics Office show that fertilizer prices soared by 127% in January of this year compared to the same time last year. Today's agricultural output price figures from the CSO also show that energy and feed prices have risen significantly by 30 and 20% respectively. Milk prices too are up, just shy of 30% in January compared to the same time last year. We'll hear from the farm advisory body Chagas in just a moment, but first let's talk to IFA President Tim Cullinan, who's on the line. Welcome to the programme, Tim Cullinan. So what do you make of these figures? I mean, I suppose 127% is a staggering increase in fertiliser prices, but for farmers who've been paying those bills in the co-ops and in the merchants, it doesn't come as a surprise, I guess.
Good afternoon, Brian. Absolutely, it's not a surprise what we're hearing from the CSO this morning. You know, you're right, farmers have been paying those prices already. But look, we're at the time of the year when, you know, fertilizer is needed. The growing season has commenced and, you know, we need the fertilizer to get the grass growing. And as I mentioned yourself, it's not just fertilizer, but we're also dealing with the serious impact of feed and energy costs as well. So look, it's a very worrying, a very concerning time now for farmers. And, you know, we're talking now about food security and being able to play our part in producing top quality food to ensure that, you know, there's not a food scarcity. You know, and this is the impact that we have to deal with now because of, you know, we're dealing with a war now as well, and we've been dealing with those concerns prior to the war with Russia and the Ukraine. So, you know, it's an absolute nightmare situation for farmers on the ground at the moment, right?
Fertilizer as a component in farmers' inputs, how significant is it? And, you know, what is the impact on the bottom line of this sort of increase?
So the impact is atrocious on the bottom line for farmers. You know, absolutely, we accept, you know, the price that farmers are receiving in for dairy produce has increased. But like for anybody to sustain an increase of anywhere in the region of 127%, like it's unsustainable to be able to manage that. I suppose the other concern we have at the moment, obviously, is the availability to ensure that we have fertilizer and farmers can get on with their business of growing crops for the coming season.
And this whole question of supply, what is the situation facing farmers? We've had reports, and I think you're making the point now that that in the case of some co-ops and merchants, they've suspended sales of fertilizer to farmers. Presumably that's to new customers. Those who already have their orders in will get those orders filled, will they?
Yeah, look, it's concerning. It depends about the supply coming into the country at the moment. And as I say, we're at the period now when, you know, we're in the springtime and the vast majority of fertilizer is required now to get the grass growing. And, you know, we've heard the call from the minister last week that we need to do more and grow more crops. And so, look, it's critical we have that fertilizer now. But I think what's important here as well from a government point of view, that there is a targeted approach here because there is capacity on some farms to grow more crops, albeit let it be grass, silage or cereals or whatever. And, you know, we need an incentive from the government here now as well. That's a package, like the minister was talking about, bringing forward a package of millions of euros. But we need this to happen immediately. You know, we had two meetings already with the minister last week, and so we now have a food security fodder committee that has been set up by the minister. But we need action around this now. We need funding around it. As I say, we need a targeted approach at the people that has capacity out there to grow more for the coming season.
To what extent are these higher input costs, though, being offset by higher prices for what farmers are producing? Because also in these figures today is the information that milk prices are up almost 30% year on year.
Yeah, but we're seeing milk prices up 30%. But like there's other sectors, you know, have not seen price increases. And, you know, we've been raising awareness around this for quite some time now. And, you know, the practice within retailers of using food produce for a below cost selling and attracting consumers into their stores. But this practice has to stop. And say some sectors being left behind here and trying to deal with, you know, the enormous price increases we're seeing in the fertilizer and, you know, feed as well. And this, the availability of feed now is a concern as well. And obviously, you know, the energy costs, but they're having serious impact on other sectors within farming at the moment.
We'll leave it there. Tim Colnan, President of the Irish Farmers Association, thank you for that. Let's talk to Dr. Kevin Hanrahan, who's head of the Teagasc Rural Economy Programme. Good afternoon to you, Dr. Hanrahan, and thank you for talking to us. I mean, what options do farmers have faced with these kind of increases?
They have to be very, very careful, I guess, in terms of their use of these inputs that Tim was describing, having increased in price by, in some cases, over 100%. Some farmers will have stocks on farm of fertilizers. Others will be going into the market to try purchase them. They just have to be very careful in terms of their use of those expensive inputs, and also maximize their use of organic manures that many farmers will be producing from their cattle or their sheep enterprises on the farm. So it'll be about balancing the two and being very careful in terms of applications used.
And does that mean, though, that inevitably there will be a reduction in output?
No, not necessarily. No, I think everyone's going to be trying to maintain output levels as close to possible to where they are or have been recently. It will be about trying to be much smarter and much more judicious in terms of using inputs like fertilizer, chemical fertilizer, like energy. But, you know, we will need to grow the grass to feed animals. If you're farming pigs or poultry, you will need feed to feed those animals. Or in some particular sectors, we may see reductions in levels of activity, for example, in the pig and poultry sector, where if there is a stop or shortage of grain supplies into the country, basically there's an animal welfare issue there that would have to be addressed. But that's down the track a bit yet. Mm-hmm. The key thing is to grow enough forage to feed the majority of our animals that we have in the country.
And what about concerns around security of supply, that it may become difficult, if not impossible, to get, for example, fertilizer at any price?
Listen, there definitely will be shortages of fertilizer. I think the key is that people don't try to go out there and start to try to panic buy or react in any way that is sort of abnormal. I think everyone needs to try to keep things going as steadily as they possibly can. The expectation is that we probably will have close to what we would normally have, but that even in the face of much higher prices that we're seeing at the moment, January on January, they're up over 120%. We were already forecasting that fertilizer use would reduce in 2022 relative to 2021, and I think that will be certainly something that will happen. Farmers will reduce their fertilizer use somewhat, and to be honest, many farmers could possibly think about reducing their fertilizer use anyway in terms of addressing some of our climate challenges. So it's going to happen anyway. It's about ensuring we do this in as far as possible in a way that doesn't reduce the amount of grass we grow and the amount of beef and milk we produce.
Russia has announced today that it's banning grain exports to a number of neighbouring countries, Belarus, Azerbaijan, I think, among them. How do you interpret that? Presumably concerns in Moscow about their own food security.
I think so. I mean, I'm not an expert in international relations, but I suspect this is the type of things that countries do when they go to war. We know that the Ukraine has also put restrictions on the export of similar type of grains from their economy, and it's an effort to try to mitigate the food security issues inside Russia. Mm. But it will have a negative impact, as the war is having, on the food security situation globally. And that's where our big concern should be.
So does all this mean that what we've seen today in terms of the increase in costs, we might be a long way from the end of this?
It's very, very hard to predict, but I don't think we're at the end anyway yet. I think we're going to likely to see continued escalation in energy prices and consequently in fertilizer prices, and we could certainly see them go higher than they've gone in the January numbers we've had from the CSO, and that will ultimately begin to be reflected in the prices that people in Ireland and people in Ireland's exports markets are paying for their food, and the balance is likely to fall negatively from the respective Irish farmers. My expectation is that the input price inflation will probably get ahead of the output price inflation and the incomes in Irish agriculture as a result of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia are likely to fall.
Kevin Hanrahan, Head of Economics at Chagas, thank you for that. Well, let's go back.